Okay, welcome everybody. This is another edition of Conversations with Dr. Cowan and Friends. And this is a friend that I met, I believe, at the Weston Price Conference about 1 year ago. Or it's about a half a year.
Yep.
And I'm going to try the name, which is Harry. That's not his official name, but that's what we're going to call him. Adamopoulos. I think I got it close enough.
No, you got it perfect. Trust me.
Perfect. All right. And, you know, we at Dr. Cowan's Garden, and, you know, we're always looking for new food. And I should say, we're not looking for new food. We're looking for new best food, because we just new lousy food. We want, so whatever it is, if we sell granola, it's got to be like organic or biodynamic oats, and they have to be soaked, and they have to have coconut oil, not canola oil, all that stuff. Right, everybody knows absolutely. About that.
Absolutely.
And the way that I think of it is, like, I'm trying to get all the things that I use for a bunch of reasons. One, that makes it cheaper for me because the company gives me my food.
Right.
And the second is, some of the best foods are not so easy to get, and I don't want to spend my entire life searching for the best olive oil or vinegar.
Right.
So I'd rather somebody else do that. Now, I would say that a lot of our food we grow ourselves, and some of our food, fair amount, we get from local farmers who grow, you know, grass fed. But there are foods that I would eat. Not only do I eat, but I like to eat, that we don't have around here. And olive oil is one of those foods. And we've all heard that a lot of commercial olive oil is somewhat olives, and then there's canola oil. And so I met Harry at the conference, and it was obvious to me that his olive oil is better than everybody else's. And so that led to a conversation, and now we're about to launch Caring Your Olive Oil, I think, next week. And so I have just a very simple question, Harry. Why would somebody want to use your olive oil instead of going to the supermarket and getting $5 olive oil off the shelf? If we can answer that question, we got it. So yeah, welcome, and thanks for joining me. And I am very anxious to hear about what you're doing to make this olive oil.
It's a pleasure for me to be here. Thank you so much for having me. It's a big honor to be working with you. It's an honor, you know, be working with you and Asher. Please say to him after the interview. I would say that what we do is not something that everybody does. What do I mean by that? First and foremost, let me get you like a little bit of our history. It's a family business. Think of it as like my great grandfather's, like it's a tradition. My great grandfather's used to harvest and used to make olive oil. So it's like, it's been like, you could say some of our olive trees are almost 100 years.
Yeah. Like, where is this?
This is in the Messenia region. This is in Peloponnese. It's like a peninsula. If you see the map, it's like a peninsula. And we're on that side of the finger, if you will.
Of Greece.
Of Greece, absolutely. Yes, Greek olive oil in Messenia region. It's a small village called Iklena. Iklena, that's where my great-grandfather and grandfather was from. And it's very close to a city called Koroni. Now, they would do it over and over, and they would pass that tradition from the oldest generation to the youngest one. So people would always say, oh, this tastes so good. This tastes so good. The olive oil tastes so good. It's like diamond. Now, this is where we got our name, Adamadas. because in Greek it means diamond. Actually, the actual ancient word is called adamas, which means diamond, and we got a step further and made it adamadas. So, apart from that,
so did your great grandfather plant the trees?
Yes, yes.
Or he inherited?
Yes, yes. Obviously, it's. I don't want to like. It's there's a Greek saying. I don't want to bless my beard and you know my belongings, but it's a place where nature has been blessed enough to have these trees from a long time ago, and eventually it got passed on to my grandfather.
Got it.
Great grandfather, I should say. I'm sorry. Now to the point. What we do, we produce high phenolic olive oil. What we call it as high polyphenolic olive oil. Why we call that? Because when you see our certificate of analysis and you see all the polyphenols, all the categories, all the types of polyphenols, not only oleocanthal and oleacine, I hope I didn't butcher that last one, and you see other ones like tyrosol and hydroxytyrosol, you could see the balance in every single one of them. You can see a complete olive oil. So how do we do it, and why you should have it? Why you should have it on your table? Well, number one, it's the location. The location, it's at the height, at the big height. So there's no interaction from other locations that other owners they have. What does that mean? Whatever happens to other olive groves and other places around us, there's no chemical interaction. So for example, if somebody says, oh, I'm going to use this type of chemical because it's cheaper and it's, you know, it's, it gives me more olive oil or whatever, it doesn't interact with our organic practices. Our practices are organic. So we don't use any chemicals that are penetrative to the ground. This is of extreme importance. Why? Because when you use chemicals that penetrate the soil, it destroys the nutrients. If they destroy the nutrients on the soil, it destroys the trees, the roots that absorb the nutrients, it destroys the tree. It starts, in a sense, you could say it rots the tree from within. It robs it of nutrients. And then you get a type of olive oil where you can find it. Obviously, I'm not going to say names. You could find it in your probably local store brand. And not only this olive oil is robbed of polyphenols, probably 50 mg per 2.2 pounds, maybe 100 mg per 2.2 pounds, which is completely minimal. But also you can see that you can find out if you do the research, you can find out that those are mixed olive oils, mixed varieties. You can find it from Greece, you can find it from Italy, from Spain, from Tunisia. Now, a small parenthesis, because when I say that, and I keep saying it on expos and festivals when I say that, I don't try to bash out other countries' olive oil. I know many, many producers that produce exceptional olive oil from Italy, from Spain, from Tunisia. But when you mix the olive oils together, you mess up the aroma, you mess up the taste, you mess up the acidity levels.
Yeah.
You mess up the whole thing just to produce an olive oil that if you left it as one, as one category in itself, as a one variety, it would give you the maximum taste and maximum aroma, maximum polyphenols.
Let's go back, because I think my listeners would be interested in the history. So your yes. grandfather acquired this, great-grandfather acquired yes. this land.
Yes.
And it had some olive trees on it already.
Yes.
And then he planted some new ones.
Yes, yes.
And that same land has been in your family ever since.
Yes, yes. Everything from generation to generation. Oh, yes.
And he started making olive oil, your great-grandfather.
Yes.
And obviously, I think it goes without saying, he used organic practices too. I mean, obviously.
Over the decades, because they would do it so often, they would use better and better practices.
Yeah.
Obviously, in the beginning, you don't know what to do and what to use.
Yeah.
But over time, from generation to generation, we improved our practices. We stopped using bad machinery. You know, has to be no plastic agents, none of that. And each harvest every year would become better and better.
Yeah. Okay. So over the years, you're making the olive oil just from the olives from your land on your trees.
Yes, yes. And that would be locally, because back then we didn't know what polyphenols are. You know, you would hear antioxidants, but, you know.
Yeah.
Back then, even 20, 25 years ago, we didn't exactly know what polyphenols are.
Right.
Now the people start understanding and doing the research of what polyphenols can do to the human body.
Right. So, but let's put aside the chemistry for a minute, because I just want the story. So the story, then your grandfather starts making olive oil from the olives, from the trees. And he starts saying, oh, I shouldn't drive this heavy tractor over it. I'll do it some other way or whatever and not use plastic. And then the olives get better and better as you go along. And they're essentially in the beginning, let me guess here, they're judging it by taste, right? Which is, I think, the best way, actually. So they're saying, if I do this, I get more olives, health, trees are healthier, taste of the olive oil is better, we're good.
Right. And depending on the quantity, is something that we have to discuss, because in order to get the most potency, there are ways and practices in order to get the maximum amount of polyphenols and antioxidants, but you have to sacrifice the quantity.
Yeah. So how in, let's say 30 years ago, how did your family take the olives and make oil? Like, what did they do?
Okay. Back then, they did it the traditional way as we do it right now, but we have more knowledge now. They would do it handpicked. They had workers that they would pick it with their hands, and they would put it in wooden, wooden containers.
Yeah.
Not plastic ones in the very beginning, they would use like some kind of plastic. But then we realized, no, this is the wrong way to do it. We need the wooden ones. And then we would start carrying it to the olive mill, and we would start the production there. And most of the days it would be on the same day.
So they put it in these big crates, wooden crates, and then there's something that squeezes it like a press?
Yes, yes. It's like a press. Today we call it a cold press. We call it the cold press. Yeah, it's been around for quite some time. So yeah,
right. And that's one of the difference between, I've been telling people for years, the reason I don't typically like seed oils is they're hard to extract, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas olives, you just basically need a donkey and a stone. I mean, I'm sure you do it a little more, and you just squish them basically.
Yes, definitely. You squish it. There's like a certain process. There's like there's cold pressing, where we do it at very specific times, and at the certain temperatures.
Right.
Like, for example, a small example for the high phenolic or high polyphenolic, as we call it, when you do the extraction, the maximum time after the harvesting is like it has to be in 60 minutes.
Wow.
For the olives to go to the olive mill.
And so then 60 minutes from harvesting to the to the press.
Yes, yes. And we go there immediately on the same day, and we wash them thorough with cold water, not hot water. Most producers use hot water.
Yeah.
It damages the fruit. It damages the antioxidants. It tastes the aroma. It goes away. Half of it goes away just by warm water. By cleaning it with warm water.
Yeah, this is the stuff that I would love for people to hear. So you pick them. These are organically grown. You know, you're refining your practice over and over, probably putting manure or compost or something in the soil and you know, all that, or whatever you're doing to improve the fertility of the soil, I'm sure.
Yes, we don't use any enriching agents, if you will. We just use natural fertilizers just to clean the tree from how you call it? I lost the word for a second.
Like fungus or something.
Fungus, thank you. Fungi and bugs that you know, come around the summertime area. From spring to summertime area, and they can go all the way up to winter. So it's a year-round process of have the tree clean out of those fungi and bugs.
Got it. So you're growing the olives, then you pick them right away with especially this high polyphenol one. Then you wash them in cold water, not hot water, because hot water ruins it.
Exactly.
And exactly. Okay, and then what happens after that?
Now, let's go to the cold pressing. When you go to do cold pressing, there's very low temperatures also. You think of it around 78 Fahrenheit, because I always think in Celsius degrees. 78, 79 Fahrenheit, 77 Fahrenheit, that's around 27 degrees. 27 degrees, 26 degrees Celsius. And at very specific times, it's under 25 minutes, 26, 25 minutes.
Uh-huh.
That's the malaxation process when it's happening. It has to be quick. It has to be efficient, because the more time you use, the higher the temperature the machine, you know, goes. And then, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They damage the olive oil process. The malaxation is destroyed. The quality is destroyed.
Yeah. So this is essentially like the temperature in your kitchen.
What's that?
It's like the temperature in your kitchen at home. So it's like preparing food at home, in a sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And how do you take care of your food? You make sure it stays and it's... How you call it? It stays in your storage at those temperatures in order to cook it the right way. You don't leave your meat out, you know, and then it, you know, it spoils, or you don't leave your meat in a moistured area, and then it has fungi on it, and then it's rotten, right? Now, what's the only, let's just say, drawback is, as I said before, the quantity. We lose a lot of quantity, but we gain maximum quality.
Yeah.
Maximum quality.
Right. So this isn't the most efficient in getting the most oil out of a certain quantity of olives. It's the most productive in getting the best quality, not the most quantity.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Okay. So then you do this cold pressing, and then you got the oil. Is that right?
Yes, we get the oil, and then we, in order for it to come out, we have a little bit of olive oil from our a little bit previous harvest, a few days before. So most producers, what would they do in order to have more olive oil? They would mix hot water with olive oil, in order to get more production, more product. We don't do that because, again, temperature can damage the olive oil. So we use olive oil with olive oil.
Uh-huh.
And then it goes through some filtration in order to get, you know, certain like small parts of the olive fruit, so we can get the pure olive oil. Mm-hmm.
And then you have some sort of vat of pure olive oil that's filtered.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's filtered and then we store it. And we store it immediately. We do it in stainless steel tanks. So there's no, you know, chemicals and metals involved in there.
Yeah.
And we do it again in dark rooms and also very small temperatures. There it should be around 17 Celsius degrees. I would say around 70 degrees Fahrenheit and even less.
Yeah. Okay. So then you got the store and then you at some point bottle that up.
Yes, we also bottle it in dark glass bottles,
right.
Non-transparent bottles.
Again, not stored. Plastic bottles.
No. No plastic. No plastic. I don't understand why it's still an issue for the big olive oil producers when they use plastic. Plastic agents can go into the olive oil.
Yeah,
especially with a small increase in temperature, you can get plastic agents in there, and then the olive oil is ruined.
So dark glass bottles sealed, and that's the oil. So we're talking about, and is it true that all of the olives are from your land?
All of them.
All of them.
And all our areas where we harvest is like literally 5 minutes by just walking it, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, because we have different category of polyphenols and each like area produces different categories of polyphenols.
So this group of trees has this amount of polyphenols and that group of trees has a different amount.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Has a different amount. Yes. Something that I want to, you know, talk about, because I want to make sure our listeners understand why I keep talking about light, about oxygen, about heat exposure. Those are enemies. Excuse me. Those are enemies for high polyphenolic EVO and EVO in general.
Yeah.
EVO in extra virgin olive oil. Because like continuous light exposure leads to light oxidation.
Yeah.
Olive oil starts getting yellowish in order. And I'm sure you can see it in certain stores that. You can see that, and that affects potency, intensity in the taste and aroma. Oxygen exposure, that can lead to moisture, increases acidity levels. Heat exposure increases acidity levels. Oxidization can happen immediately.
Yeah.
When I say immediately, I mean in a matter of hours, maybe 24 to 48 hours, you know? And light, like light is the number one in it.
Yeah. So your whole process goes from single variety trees, essentially, or a certain group of trees,
to
hand-picked, to the processing, cold, no light, bottled immediately, keep it at low temperature, no exposure to light, bottle it in glass jars that are not clear, but they're brown or something.
Yeah, when it comes to bottling, yes, the small bottles that we, you know, sell it.
Yeah.
Yes, it has to be, hard glass, yes.
Yeah.
And our tankers are not in metal or bronze. It has to be stainless.
Yeah.
It has to be stainless so there are no harmful chemicals and metals coming in and oxidize the olive oil.
Got it. Okay, I think we got the process then.
Perfect.
So tell us then, what have you discovered or tested about these oils?
So a few years ago, we did the DNA testing to find out what kind of variety we have exactly. And for 99% is Koroneiki variety. The name Koroneiki variety comes from the city of Koroni, which is around 20 to 25 minutes from us.
Yeah.
So you understand that this is the original Koroneiki variety that we produce.
The home of... Yeah.
The home. There's no closer than that.
Yeah.
We made sure that the position that we have and the microclimate we have and temperatures, the weather can give us the maximum amount of polyphenols and quality, because most people, you know, talking about polyphenols, taste and aroma, and the way you taste it and the vitamins that it has are also a key player to have a very good quality olive oil where you can enjoy but still get the benefits.
Right. So you've talked a lot about polyphenols. Tell us, what is a polyphenol and why would anybody want to eat a polyphenol?
Why? Well, what I can tell you is, well, polyphenols, you can find it in many foods.
Yeah. It's a chemical that the plant makes to protect itself. Basically.
Yes. Yes. But it's for the health benefits. There have been many, many studies that say that it has health benefits in cardiovascular health.
Yeah.
They give it for people. We have studies right now. University of Minnesota has done studies with our olive oil and for anti-aging, as an anti-aging, a product, as an anti-aging food.
Yeah.
And also Rush University we still donate the olive oil and does studies that are for people with ischemic strokes. So there's a myriad of benefits where you can get arthritis, muscle pain, digestive issues, all that stuff. Like back in the day, my grandpa used to say this. He said, make sure you always have olive oil in your home. And if you make bread, make sure you put some in there, because it will help you with your digestion.
Yeah.
So that's a wisdom of, many, many decades, many years.
And the polyphenols are what give olive oil that sort of sharp taste, right?
That's technically the oleocanthal that gives that peppery taste.
Yeah.
That's the first type that you see on certificate of analysis. That's the one that's responsible for the peppery taste. And that's the one that's also responsible for giving that anti-inflammatory effects. That's the first one.
Right. So if you're eating an olive oil and there's no that distinctive taste, hard to describe, that means it's a low polyphenol, it's got very few of any health benefits.
I would say yes, only because it, from what I've seen and from my experience, the olive oils that we've been drinking up until now have lost their potential. You know, yeah. we have a gold mine of a product. We have a product that it could be on our diet, and we could be enjoying it with our salad, our food, our anything. And we lost 50, more than 50% of its potential. So yes, I would wholeheartedly say that yes.
Yeah.
There are many bad olive oils.
And we're going to carry some that are called high polyphenol and others are less high. And it sounds like the high one, you actually don't necessarily even take that with food. Like that one, you take like a medicine almost.
Yes, because it's very potent. And yeah. many of my customers said, okay, it's a little bit rough in the beginning. Yeah. It's a little bit more sour because when we harvested like 2 months before from other producers. Other producers harvested around November, December to get the most quantity. So it's a little bit sour. So this is why I tell them, use a tablespoon or two tablespoons, depending on how you like it. In case you don't want to taste it as it is, or as a tablespoon, put it on your smoothie, drizzle it on your salad. You still get the full benefits. I don't really recommend it. I recommend cooking with it. We have other oils for that.
Yeah.
Other olive oils, mind you.
Yeah. Got it. So the high polyphenol, you don't cook it because you might lose some of that.
Yes, it loses at least 50% of polyphenols at the acidity. The acidity is like extremely low. Yeah. Extremely low. It's like 0.2, 0.3. And when you cook with it, it goes to 0.6, 0.7. It's still extra virgin olive oil. But I believe we have other olive oils for that.
Yeah.
We do have other olive oils for that. I can assure you of that.
Yeah.
This is very potent. I think in its raw form is what it gives the most health benefits, I would say.
So that's like the medicinal one. And the other ones are more for using as salad dressing and making smoothies and drizzling on vegetables and cooking with it.
Yes. Yes. We have like 3-4 categories of that. So it's for it's in order to cover everybody, because we want to give it to the people who want it as a dietary supplement, want it as for people who want to cook with it or drizzle on the salad. We have all, we want to cover everybody.
Got it. And so the gourmet line, is that olive oil with other spices or other flavorings in it?
Yes. We have a bunch of olive oils. We have olive oils with chili, with wasabi, with basil.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, the usual ones that are in the market already, lemon and mandarin orange and orange. We have balsamics with blueberry, with pomegranate. Yep. With honey.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So you're going to carry a whole line, and these are also things grown on your property or things you source?
Yes, yes. So it's co-produced. It's co-produced. Yes, absolutely. Got it.
Okay. It sounds great to me. I tell you, everybody really should try it, because it was so obvious the first taste that this is not like any olive oil that I've ever eaten or tasted.
We appreciate that.
And you can, chemistry aside, you can experience it within seconds, really. And it's tasted like real food from some real place.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a product of nature. It's a product of nature.
Yeah.
We got from what nature can give. If you take care of the soil, if you take care of your land, it will give you tenfold. And that's what we try to do every year. We always try to do our practice even better.
Yeah. And you take care of the process. A lot of people with food, it's just wheat or something, but then starts the process. You have to make it into bread or whatever it is. So olives, and you have to care for how you make it into the oil. And that's what you guys are really pioneering here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Also, from the way you ship it too, it has to be a certain temperature. Absolutely, yeah. Because you could have the best product in the world. If you don't take care of it on the way to the customer, you probably would lose 40% of its value already.
Yeah.
I'm talking about nutritional value.
Yeah.
So what's the point? We have to make sure
every step is
as it has to be, as nature intended it to be.
Got it. Okay, Harry, thank you very much. We're so glad to be working with you. Everybody check it out. I use it myself, and I'm going to use more as time goes on.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to be working with you guys.
Okay, you too. Thanks for doing this. It's really a great, great venture you guys got.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.